Is the big con worth our time? We're about to find out. Welcome, everyone, to episode 169 of 1 Hour, 1 Decision, 1H1D. I am Chris.
And I am Tom.
And we take 60 minutes and play a random game on Xbox Game Pass and decide, well, Tom, can we stay in the 90s?
Man, I would love to have done that, but that was 30 years ago.
it's so shocking to hear that the 90s is 30 years ago at this point. That's insane. Insane. What else is insane is we're going to be talking about this game, The Big Con by Mighty Yell Studios. Mm. This game came out in August of 2021 on Windows, Xbox One, Xbox Series S and X, and then came out in June of 2022 on the Switch. And then PS4 and PS5 got it in August of 2023. So that's interesting. I play this on the PC. It was a measly 682.26 megabytes. Tom, what about you?
So it's very interesting, Chris. On the Xbox Series S, this might be the most descriptive number I've ever received in a file size, and I noticed yours was very descriptive. I have 1,001.28 megabytes.
Wow.
Which is a very strange. Normally, it's giving me three digits of them. I'm lucky. Now I've got four digits, a period, and two after. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But still substantially larger than your PC version.
Totally. That's very odd. But, you know, that's how they do things here. But what kind of game is this?
Oh, ho. Well, I have a third person, and then I thought better of it and put isometric adventure. Mm,
yeah. I put 2D move and click story-based adventure game. I say that because I was playing this with a controller and not with a mouse. So, and you can't, I don't even know if you can actually play this with a mouse, to be honest, because most of the UI is actually based around a controller.
So, yes. Sometimes we play games that are very much, and I complain about it, they're PC games and they're on the consoles. This is definitely a console game. It's a controller-friendly game.
And in this game, what do we do? What's that game loop?
I want to hear yours.
Oh, hold on 1 second. Let's try that. All right. And we're back. Go ahead.
So, Chris, I would like to hear what you have to say about this game loop.
Well, I put down click through dialogue and steal money.
That,
what do you got?
Is accurate, but I put perhaps more eloquently, maybe, investigate your environment and find out what people want by eavesdropping, then pick their pockets.
Yeah. You're right. You do have to figure out how to con said people. And well, let's see. Did this game con some likes into our minds? Let's see. What did we like about this game?
Well, I appreciated that right from the jump when it does this is the save icon, and this is what, you know, don't disconnect while it's doing this. It had the little note that said, "Hey, this is a floppy disk." And back in the 90s, this is, you know, how we saved things.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that I had this conversation at work with some coworkers where it's like, yeah, I think a lot of people looking at computer software may not know why that icon is used for save.
Right.
You know, if you were born in the last, I don't know, 20 years, you may not realize what that is.
No. Yeah. And it's true because, like, you can see even a lot of games that do like this quick save or like the auto save. It's not, they rarely use the floppy disk anymore. It's like, you know, circle or some fancy little UI thing that they do. So yeah, I caught that too. I thought that was pretty funny. Overall, this game is just oozing 90s. It's got that vibe all over the place. Even at the main menu, you've got VCR, like a VCR, you know, and you got your VHS tapes right there going through it. And like the music, totally 90s. And I was like, whoa,
the color,
where am I?
The color palette, right?
Yeah.
It's full of neon.
Oh, yeah.
It's full of little haha references and little nods to things from that time.
Yes.
I mentioned it here that it gave me very much like Toe Jam and Earl vibes. The world, like navigating the world map, does that kind of isometric, and you just kind of like, I don't know, the characters have kind of a little bob and sway to them that.
Yep. And funny enough, when I was streaming this, a lot of people said the same thing. I, unfortunately, have never played Toe Jam and Earl, but...
Tragedy.
It's a tragedy. I know. I'm sorry, everyone. But maybe I'll play it. Who knows? It was just crazy. Like, the art style, it gave me, like, I guess for you, Toe Jam and Earl, it gave me, like, Doug vibes.
Yes.
It gave me, like, there was another, like... it was another show. It was like
the way it was drawn, for sure. Yeah, that's a great reference. Yeah, Doug.
Doug. I think there's like Pepper Ann or something. I think that might have been later.
It was later, but still has that kind of
Kids Next Door. But yeah, like that kind of vibe to it.
2D, like, oh, wow. Hand drawn from that era. Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved it. It was great. It was great to see that stuff. And it's just a very easy game to pick up and play because, you know, you just kind of walk around this isometric world and talk to people.
Yes. And then when you walk up to people, it gives you what buttons to press and kind of gives you your options right there. There's no tutorial in this game, but it doesn't need one.
No. Very, very well. I mean, there was the pickpocketing stuff, which we can
get into. Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, I think for the most part, the game is very context sensitive, and I like that. And I thought there was a lot of with the menu options. There's a lot of accessibility that was innate. You could turn on and off in this game. So like that pickpocketing mechanic, you can skip that entirely.
What?
There's a accessibility option where you can. I think there's a game that you play later on in it where you can kind of like lower the difficulty for that as well.
Oh,
so it was nice. Like, I guess, like, because, you know, the game is, they're really pushing the story, right? And the story, at least from what I understand, you play as Allie. She works with her mom at a video store, of course, because why not? A local video store, mind you, not Netflix, not Blockbuster, not Hollywood Video, like your mom and pop video store.
These were things that existed.
Yeah, take 30 notes,
years
kids.
Ago. You might have had one of these in the strip mall that was not, as you said, one of the major chains.
Right.
Before, you know, streaming was a thing and murdered video stores.
It was the place to be, I would say, on a weekend. And you just go walk down the aisles, find that random movie that you might want to pick up. And hell, I feel like that's what inspired this show in general. But it was cool to kind of like go back and see that stuff. Like there was a sense of community in a way in those things. Like hell, like Clerks was all about that too, right? That was it. What else you got here?
I think the game was funny, you know. It's making fun of itself. It's also making fun of the player. It's making fun of game mechanics in general. Like, I'm the kind of person, if I see something, I'm going to pick it up. And this game is like, yeah, okay, there's half an ice cream cone. You're going to pick that up. Here's a piece of crumpled up piece of paper. You're going to pick that up. Right. And then my inventory is just full of garbage.
Yeah.
And then fortunately, there is a character in the game who is like this weird collector. He starts off collecting corn adjacent objects.
Yep.
And he basically buys the hoard of garbage that you've got. So it's like, oh, thank goodness. And then when you transition to the new area, the game is like, okay, you're not holding on to any of this. Like anything you have, any piece of garbage that you've picked up, we're just going to pay you for, and you're going to start fresh with an empty sack and the next level. And thank you game for that.
Yeah. And a fanny pack, in fact.
Yes.
So you got that, which was
found a way to do it time era appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also liked a little nod to From Husk Till Dawn.
Yep.
The corn video for From Dusk Till Dawn, obviously. And it was just very, very, the humor was, I agree, was great. Throughout the whole thing, even again, I kind of stopped at the whole premise of this game. But the idea is that Allie is trying to raise money for her mom's video store because she's had to deal with some shady people to keep the store running. So she needs to figure out how to make a lot of money. $97,000, in fact, is what you're trying to raise. And you meet some random guy who says, "Let's go steal some stuff." Then you're like, "Okay, let's do." do it.
Yep.
And yeah, that was cool. I also thought
pickpocketing people for $3-4, and it's like, you are never going to get enough of this together.
No. But I guess the idea is that you get bigger and bigger cons that you will eventually run. And, I thought it was just such a very weird 90s kind of plot too.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, it's like
this would totally be the plot of like a movie from that era for sure.
100%. And, I also liked when in between certain dialogue, conversations that you have with people, you might have choices of like what you want to talk about.
Yes.
And they highlight it, which I thought was kind of neat. Like it didn't give you sometimes they give you choices. Like if there's more than two choices, they will give you that option. But if it's just two choices to continue the conversation, you just kind of pick those words that they're talking about, which I thought was kind of neat.
It's like embedded in the block of text they give you.
Right. So that was cool. I thought that was a nice little thing to keep, I guess, for efficiency. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it felt a little bit more like a conversation, like a real conversation where the person has said something, you're listening to what they said, and then, okay, I'm more interested in this part of what you said than that part of what you said, and so I'm going to hit X or Y to move the conversation in that direction.
Right. So, I thought that was very cool. And this game relies heavily on the dialogue, right? So it's good that you kind of have to. In a way, it forces you to kind of read what's going on. Yeah,
you can't just press A.
Yeah, exactly. So good on them to try to do that.
Yeah.
What else you got there, Tom?
I want to say, especially in light of some of the other games we've played lately, I am so thankful that I can save at any time, that I can press pause. It brings up the pause menu. In the pause menu, it's just the save and continue, save and quit. And I'm like, yes, please, thank you. Like, I want to be able to save anywhere and put this game down if, you know, life calls me away, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's very casual in that way too, right? This game. And I'm happy for that. I'm glad that they did that. So any other things you wanted to bring up here?
There's something I have, but I'm going to save it for your notables because I think it's better placed there.
Fair enough. Then let's dive right into our dislikes here, Tom.
Okay. Well, voice acting, right? There's voice acting, but the voice acting isn't real voice acting. It's classic, what?
Yeah.
And it's just, there's a lot of text. And so every time you trip text, you're hearing one of these grunts or expletives, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. But they also added the little clicking noise too.
Yeah. So it's like it didn't know what it wanted to be.
Yeah. So that was kind of disappointing because they clearly had people say or do stuff because some of them will say like, hey, or like that. I even think the trader guy, the guy that you sell stuff to, he says a couple of lines.
Yeah, he does. There. He has a couple, like two, three word, you know, little phrases.
Yeah. I guess they just didn't want to pay for it. So it's fine. Everyone's got a budget.
And listen, none of the games from that era anyway, had any voice acting at all. So
true. Yeah. I agree with you on that. And the one other thing, well, I thought about this after I left that first area. I was like, oh man, I think I missed a couple of things and I don't know if I can go back to it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like there's an option to go back. So I thought that was a little frustrating because it's like, you know, I wish I couldn't, like, for example, there's a luggage that is in the back.
Yeah.
That I was like, how do I open that? And I don't think I fully like talked to everyone in the area for me to figure that out. And actually, as I got to the new area, it gave me the idea like, oh man, I wanted to go back and do that. Because like when you got to the new area, I feel like you had not more of an opportunity to they tell you more about like, hey, go talk to people, listen in on other conversations, and that'll clue you in on how to like do things throughout that world, that area.
Kind of give you more options. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was a little frustrated about that, but did you open that container? That
not the first one, but I did open the second one.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a second one.
Yeah. So when you start that second level, when you arrive at the mall, there's a bag outside the mall again with the password. And there's an old lady inside the mall who gives you the password to it.
Oh, yes, because that's her bank number. And she says she uses it for everything. Exactly. I didn't even see that bag. Oh. All right. Well,
I mean, the good news is it's just money. It doesn't. No. It wasn't like that.
That's the whole point, though. You need the money. Yes. But yeah, that's true. Okay, that's fair. But what else you got here, Tom?
Some of the framing, I thought, because there is a lot of conversational stuff, like it's weird. It reminds me of like, it's just too close. You know what I mean? Like parts of people's bodies or faces and things are like cut off. And I'm just like, I don't know. It just felt weird to me.
Yeah.
It's, which is weird because you figure it's all scripted. So they must have picked those shots on purpose, right?
Right. Right.
It's different when you're playing a 3D open world game and it's like, okay, the camera got out of whack. No, this seems deliberate and I just don't get it.
Yeah. I agree that I felt like sometimes the camera maybe didn't follow you properly. Even in the game world itself, like sometimes it just felt like it was a little laggy, but yeah, it was, I could see that being a little frustrating, especially when, like you said, this is dialogue heavily and you just see like the bottom part of their face or something like that. That is kind of odd.
Weird.
In the first area, you meet some odd characters, and one of them for me was this creepy sticker kid.
Yeah.
And he's like, I need these stickers. I'm like, well, I gave you some. He's like, no, I need more. I was like, oh, okay. And he just kind of gave me this look, dead eye look. And you know, Allie does kind of point at that too. She's like, this is a weird kid. So, but it was just kind of strange overall from the rest of the game. But,
That does play into your, do you get to go back? So like, I didn't complete the mission for that kid. I didn't get all the stickers in that area.
Yeah.
I left the area, realized I didn't have all the stickers. I was like, oh, I wonder what would have happened if I had all the stickers and talked to that kid.
Yeah.
There's definitely room in this game for like, if you are a completionist, like there is stuff to do.
Right. Right. So what else you got here?
Okay. Well, I think it's important to touch on this, right? The game is called The Big Con, right?
Yeah.
This game, the whole premise of this game is like to make really bad decisions and steal from people and trick people. And like, I really hope that there's a moral lesson at the end that like Allie like gets a comeuppance for all this bad stuff that she's doing, because otherwise I'm like, I really don't like it. Like, I don't really don't like the idea in the same way that I don't like Grand Theft Auto's like glorification of you know, violence and crime and all that sort of stuff. And I don't really don't like mob movies for the same reason. Maybe they're a little too real. This is a little too real maybe in that, like,
you feel a little icky.
Yeah, I definitely do. And then like there was that janitor guy from the school who you were like friends with. And like you go over to behind him and it gives you like the icon. It's like, oh, this guy's got a fat wallet. And I'm like, I couldn't bring myself to steal from him. And at the same time, I'm like, but am I missing an item? Like, do I need to steal from him in order to get the last sticker or something? I don't know. And I hate that I'm tempted to do it, even though he's such a nice guy. Like, I don't know. It's a slippery slope.
I mean, you're right, because there was that, like, a couple people in the game area, game world, where I was like, oh, do I want to steal from them? I feel kind of bad stealing from them. So it's interesting that that moral dilemma happens for such a weird little game here. But yeah, that's interesting that you brought that up. I like that. I don't know, because like a 90s movie, would a 90s movie have that lesson? I mean, like a Full House episode absolutely would.
Yeah.
But would this game give you that kind of like Danny Tanner, sit you on your lap, you sit on his lap and he tells you, don't do that. They did talk about say no to drugs. You had the rad ghost. You had the rad ghost that kind of says say no. I was like, all right, maybe there is a lesson. You know, it's possible. It's possible. Yeah. So, yeah, cool. Well, I've got nothing else here. Shall we get to our other thoughts?
Just real quickly, I didn't see a way to set the difficulty setting. It sounds like there is for certain mechanics. Okay.
Yeah.
I never really felt challenged playing this. I guess it's kind of a cozy game. It's not really supposed to challenge you. Right. But sometimes the buttons kind of gotten in the way of what I wanted to do. And I would like skip through dialogue or, you know, miss up one of these pickpocketing challenges. A character would walk away. Something about the controls just felt a little off. I guess, again, the focus really seems to be on the story. And so maybe that's okay. But sometimes the buttons, I felt like, got in the way of the story. And that's less okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. Oh, one other thing I do want to point out. This game is on, it's kind of like an other thought thing, but I felt like this is a miss on their part. On xCloud, this game does not have touch controls. Like this is kind of like, this is a perfect game for that, for them, for you to utilize touch controls. But, you know, it is what it is. Maybe they'll come back and revisit it. Yeah. Who knows? But yeah. All right. Shall we get to our other thoughts then?
Yeah. What other thoughts do you have?
Yeah. Well, How Long to Beat says this game takes about 4 to 5 hours to complete. So another short game, which I appreciate. Mm. And it does, like I did mention, this is xCloud capable. xCloud saves as well, but no touch controls. So you do need a controller if you want to play on your mobile device or whatnot. So, or if you have a Steam Deck, it works there just fine. But anyway, that's besides the point. That's what I got here. Tom, what about you?
Okay, so this is a Mighty Yell's first game, right? Always good to look into that.
Yeah.
In fact, it was nominated for Best Indie Game and Best Score in the Canadian Game Awards. No big surprise, little hint there that they are a Canadian-based developer.
Yeah.
Based out of Toronto, Canada. They pride themselves in being fully remote, which I think is an interesting, you know, idea.
Okay.
And they like to, or they say they only make nonviolent games and they do it in a sustainable way.
Huh.
So that is perhaps why they opted for stealing, because that's not violent.
It's not violent. Stealing can be violent. You have to jump someone.
I guess just not here.
Yeah.
Here you're you're only removing people's wallets from their pockets.
Sure. Okay.
You're not using a weapon to mug them.
No. That's fair.
Unless that happens in maybe hour three and a half, 4 hours in, maybe that's what happens.
Maybe. But I am curious what that means, a sustainable way is. I don't know what that means, but
I'm not sure.
We'll have to look into that. Cool. And you said they have another title here?
Yes. So more recently, so this was their first game, The Big Con. They made a VR game called A Night in the Attic, and it is available on Quest and PC. I watched a little trailer thing of it. It looks pretty cool, actually.
Nice.
Like playing another kind of top-down isometric style game, but you are kind of removed from it. You're like in the environment and the game is happening in front of you in the attic.
Oh, okay. Neat.
Interesting. Again, I'm not sure how you play as a knight and don't do violence, but I'm curious to see how that works.
Nice. I do want to point out one thing. I think you were kind of hinting at this.
I was teeing you up. I thought you were going to handle this.
Oh, well,
handle it.
We're talking about 90s stuff here, and I was just kind of, this was actually the first time I kind of looked at the credits. I was like, I'm curious about this. And once you hit the credits of this game, you have the option to go into the credits here in the main menu. Something happens, and for Tom and I, this was a big deal back in the 90s. A acapella group called Rockapella starts singing the theme song, I guess, or one of the theme songs of this game, and I was blown away. I was like, wait a minute, that's not them. That can't be them. I looked it up, and it was them. I was like, holy crap. And just for reference, Rockapella were with the guys that sang the Carmen Sandiego song during the game show. And that was awesome. It was awesome to hear them again. I was like, they're instantly recognizable if you've ever watched one of those episodes of the game show. And my class almost made it to go to one of those things, and they stopped doing it at that point. Ah. So frustrating. So frustrated. It was such a great game show. You should check that out too. But anyway, that's what
teaches you history, teaches you geography. It was a good show for kids.
It's a good show. I mean, they have a Netflix show, but it's not the same. It's not the same as a game show. They try to make it into like a whole serious thing or whatever. Whatever. That's besides the point here. We're trying to get into this. Anyway, so Tom.
Yes.
Now we need to figure out, is this game staying on our respective hard drives, or are we throwing it into the ocean? I don't know. Are we pickpocketing this away from us?
know. Well, I'll tell you what. It is a tiny little game. It's not taking up a whole lot of space on the, even on my Series S, where price is, space is a premium. Mm-hmm. More importantly, I want to point out my hour went by incredibly quickly. Like, I had a good time immersing myself in the nostalgia, the cheesy story. It's really corny. You know, I enjoyed it. The only worry that I have is my own kind of nature of getting wrapped up in the completion, leaving an area, having three out of four stickers. And like, can like, do I need to 100% this? And like, thinking about that, I'm like, oh God, I really don't want to have to. Yeah. So if I can get over that and just kind of play through the level, get to the main objective and then move on, I think I could beat this game pretty fast and it would be a fun time and I'd get to the end of the story. So I think I'm maybe to challenge myself, I'm going to go, okay, when the game tells you you're ready to move on, move on. I don't know if I can do that.
That'd be an interesting challenge for you, huh?
Yeah, it really would.
Yeah. All right.
I'll tell you what, I did not succeed in the first part of the level.
Did you? Oh, okay. Okay.
But nice. I wasn't challenging myself with that yet. Now the challenge starts now at the end of this hour.
Starts now. Yes. Well, that's great. That's great to know that you are actually going to keep this game. For me, this is another game like you that hits all the right nostalgia notes for me. All the feels of the 90s, because you and I are both 90s kids.
We are.
And I appreciate that this game does not commit so much time from me. It does not ask so much time from me. You know, four to five-ish hours and I'm done. That's great. That's great. Because, you know, I don't have that much time. So for me, I am keeping this. I do feel that completionist thing for sure. I'm not usually one to do it, but like, you know, they're like, especially since we played a lot of Metroidvanias and stuff like that. Yeah. It was always like, it's like, oh, now I kind of want to go back.
It's weird because I'm normally so put off by that.
Yeah.
But here, for some reason, it's like, oh, but I know that I have four of the five stickers. Right. I want the last one before I hit. Yeah. It's like that I don't think I can come back makes me want to do it. But when you know you can't come back, I don't want to do it.
Exactly. Well, all right. Well, those are our thoughts. Let us know what you guys think of this game. Follow us and say hello on Twitter at TC1H1D or shoot us an email at TC1H1D@outlook.com. Check out our extremes on Twitch at twitch.tv/1H1D. And if you're watching this on YouTube, hey, send us a comment down below. Check this game out if you haven't tried it and see if it's worth your time or not. And let us know what you thought about it. And we've got a bunch of other reviews up there on YouTube, so check them all out too. And let us know what you think of them. But 1H1D is part of that QTB network. If you like any other great gaming content, check it all out at quitthebuild.com/network.
Mouthful.
It is a mouthful. And now we need to find out what we're playing next, don't we, Tom?
Yes.
But this one, we're taking a little, a little pick. I mean, it's kind of still random because Xbox drops things randomly, right?
Sounds like somebody's stretching here. All right. Tell me, Mr. Armstrong, what are we playing next?
Hey, that's another 90s reference right there. There we go. We are going to be playing The Quarry.
Are we going to dig up rocks?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that'll be part of this game. But I am super excited to try this game out because this is by Supermassive Games, and they've done some choose-your-own-adventure style games before, and you and I have played Detroit Become Human, which is different studio, but similar style. So I'm kind of curious what we both think about that, and we'll let you know what we think about that on our next episode. So thank you so much for tuning into this one, and we'll catch you on that one.
Thanks, everybody.